Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. So even in this reading here, the disciples of Jesus are even cursed. It's not just the Pharisees and the scribes, but the disciples themselves are saying, "What is this change? This saying is too hard." Well, what saying? What is he teaching? He's teaching about the Eucharist, about what and who the Eucharist is. Jesus Christ, "This is my flesh. This is my body." That it truly is him and not merely a symbol. And again, he doesn't back off. The Pharisees ask him. Those doubters ask him. And he says, "No, this is what it is." And then the disciples ask him, "Well, this is too much for us." And he says, "Does this shock you? What if you saw me come out, go up into heaven?" You know, so he's not backing down. He's not saying it's just a symbol. He is saying, truly, this is the body of Jesus Christ. This is him. I find it ironic, though. You know, the Second Vatican Council, one of the most quoted parts of the Second Vatican Council is where the Eucharist is the source and summit of our life. Why? Why is it the source and summit of our life? It's because it is, in fact, Jesus himself. If it's not Jesus, what's the point? It's just symbolism. Great. Just another station of the cross or something. There's something very different about this. The thing I find ironic about it is that this is probably the most quoted part of Vatican II, and yet in the polls it says that 80% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. What's with that? What's going on? Why are we so willing to leave Jesus Christ in the tabernacle? Why are we so willing to leave the physical presence of Jesus Christ? You see, if I were to leave Grandma's house and say, "I'm never going to go to Grandma's house again," basically, in essence, what I'm saying is, I'm leaving Grandma. I mean, that's basically, I mean, you can give her a phone call. Yeah, that's great, but it's not the same thing as going to Grandma's house. It's the same thing with Jesus. If I choose to leave the physical presence and leave his house and say, "I'm not going to go back again," you're leaving him. Yeah, you can pray in your home, you can give him that phone call, but it's not the same as being in his presence. We actually get grace just simply being in his presence. How often, how much time do we spend before Jesus in the tabernacle? Or and holy hour. Right here in town, St. Thomas Aquinas, 24-hour adoration. We get to be with Jesus anytime we want. And you know what? We get to choose our own time. That's awesome. 2 o'clock in the morning, you can go. You might have to call the office to get a card to get in the door because they got it locked. They don't want people mugging people in there, right? But you can go. Every morning, we have adoration, whether it's St. Mary's or St. Joe's. Simply being in his presence gives us incredible graces. We don't want to leave the home of God. We want to go to him. So what do we do when we are in the presence of God? How do we pray? Now, how do we do these things? Well, one of the things you can do is bring a book. St. Thomas has books if you don't have a book. Do a little bit of reading, but you don't want to read just to read. You don't want to be just, you know, reading through, okay, I got a chapter to do and I got to get through this thing, and you don't think about it. The kind of reading you want to do is you want to read maybe a paragraph. See what pops out at you. You know, especially when you're reading scripture. Special words that kind of pop out with you. And so it might be a matter of, you know, Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Oh. And then you start thinking, we know who that is. That's Judas. So then you're thinking, oh, the one who would betray him, Judas. And you can start thinking about Judas. And then ask Jesus to be with you in your thoughts, just pondering what you've just read. So it's not a busy reading, something to keep you busy, to divert you from the presence of Jesus. It's actually something to help you be in the presence of Jesus. And so that's what the reading material is for. So we read a little bit, but then we kind of look up. Even taking the missalettes. The missalettes, read the readings for the next Sunday. Just take that up in hand if you don't have anything. Read those readings. Read the prayers of Mass. Think about, wow, what does that mean? You know, every word of the Mass comes from Scripture. So when you're reading parts of it, when you say parts of the Mass yourself, you think, this sounds familiar. Yeah, it does. It should, because it's part of Scripture. Another thing you can do is simply pray the Rosary. What's the Rosary? But it's a meditation on the Gospel. The Annunciation, Luke 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Annunciation. The Visitation, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. John the Baptist leaps for joy, beginning of Luke again. The birth of Jesus, beginning of Luke again, or Matthew. And then they go on presentation of the Lord, John. Gospel of John. And then we even go like the Wedding of Cana, Luminous Mysteries, that's Gospel of John. And all these things, this is great. So you can just pray the Rosary before the Blessed Sacrament. Do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Pray for people who need your prayers. Pray for family members. You know, it's a matter of just sitting there plopping down and saying, you know, this stinks. Right now, today stinks, Jesus. Be honest with them. It's okay. He might give you answers that you don't like, okay, now you need to forgive or something like that. But he'll be there. He'll give you the peace that you need. The grace that we get just from simply being in the presence of God is that intangible thing that makes us say there's something there. You see, a lot of times, like, of course, this is another way of praying, simply being in his presence, just not doing anything, just be in the presence of God. It's kind of like sitting in front of the Christmas tree with the lights on and not really thinking anything, just downloading, just giving everything to Jesus at the end of the day or something like that. That's another way of being in the presence of God. And it just kind of calms down the mind. It gives peace. You see, the world likes to keep you busy-minded. You're like, go, 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 and your mind's kind of racing and racing. Think about this, what's going on next, and all that. Well, the problem with that is that the peace of God can't enter in if your mind is constantly going. The mind constantly going works against peace. And because it works against peace, it works against true joy. I'm not talking about the happy joy stuff. The happy joy stuff is shallow, okay? A lot of times, you know, you see a lot of people on TV, they use the happy joy stuff to drown out their suffering. I mean, that's the way they do it. They, you know, New Year's, we're partying, we're having this great time, but they're dying inside. I mean, this is so typical. You know, the guy who saying, don't worry, be happy. You know, he committed suicide. What's wrong with that? You know, sometimes we get caught up into the happy things, or we got to do this and that, but until we enter into the presence of God, we're not able to have that. See, the presence of God, being in God's presence, allows us to calm down and have that peace within. You see, what happens is we're in the presence of God, and the roof doesn't cave in. God doesn't hit us with a lightning bolt or anything like that. And then that brings us peace. Like, hey, I'm in the presence of God. We're okay. We're not like, a lot of times we think we're like the worst person in the world. No, you're not. You're not. Just be in God's presence, and then that's a way of God letting you know that he loves you. And if he loves you, that makes it a little bit easier to be with yourself. See, the reason why we get so busy, we got to have the, like, I got to have noise, We're that way because we're not comfortable with ourselves. When we are in the presence of God, we get to be comfortable with ourselves. We start to understand that we're okay. And that gives us peace. And then once that peace enters in, our minds calms down, now we can enter into wisdom. You ever notice where wisdom is, there is peace? There's also a certain kind of joy, that deep joy. Not that facade, fake stuff. A deep joy within. And the joy starts to come out and exude out of you. That's the kind of joy God wants to give you. That's wellspring of water that he's talking about. The living water. That's what he wants to give you. And this is exactly what the Eucharist gives us, especially when we come to Mass, when we go to adoration. We spend time with him. The graces are incredible. Those grace that we can't quite put our finger on. Somehow, when I'm in the presence of God, there's peace. And when I leave that presence, there's peace, and it lasts a little bit. That's the grace he wants to give you. That's the true grace that he wants to give you. That's why in the first readings I talk about, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What would inspire somebody to do that, especially by today's standards? Because by golly, if you serve the Lord today, you're not going to be very well liked. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody risk it? There must be something great there.